This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brothers and sisters. So we have arrived here, alhamdulillah, on the plains of Arafat. And just to your right hand side is a small mountain, which is known as Jabal Rahmah, the Mount of Mercy. And very close to this area here, our dear Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a very famous and well-known sermon on the day of Arafah. There's a few things I want to mention today, inshallah ta'ala. We just had maybe a 15-minute walk from the bus. Is anybody feeling a little bit tired? A little bit tired, right? Maybe you're not, maybe you're very strong, mashallah, but maybe some of us are feeling a little bit tired as we're under the sun. Now this represents, if you like, maybe 1% of what you may feel during the Hajj. 1%. Hajj will last maybe 4 or 5 days. So that little walk, I mean, one of the brothers suggested maybe we should stop halfway. And I said, no, I want them to feel just a little bit tired. I want them to feel a little bit. So we can come to this area where obviously it's much more spacious, it's easy for us to talk. But there's a few things I want us to ponder over while we're here, inshallah ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed Hajj only once in his life. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed that Hajj a mere 3 months before he passed away. So it was right at the end of the life of the Prophet alaihi wasallam that he performed Hajj. And he was in his 60s, 62, 63 years old alaihi wasallam, that he performed this Hajj along with more than 100,000 of the Sahaba. More than, let's say, 110,000 of the companions. Some of them had just heard that the Prophet ﷺ was going to make Hajj and they'd never seen him before. So they wanted to be on the journey. They wanted to be part of that historical moment in history where the greatest Nabi, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, was going to perform his Hajj, and they wanted to be part of that. And it is on this day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed our deen, completed our religion. And the verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-Islam deena. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that today I have perfected your religion, completed my favor upon you, and named Islam as your religion. This happened a mere stone's throw from where we are standing here. So it's a very, very important place for us to ponder over what happened here. You know, the Prophet ﷺ gave that very well-known sermon in which he laid out so many things which humankind universally lives by now. When they talk about human rights, or the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which was released in the late 40s, just, you know, a lifetime or one or two generations ago. Here the Prophet ﷺ, centuries ago, was making clear to everybody the importance of what? The rights of human beings, the rights of life, the rights of wealth, the rights of religion, the rights of men, the rights of women. All of these things was laid out in this last sermon. That every single companion who was here listened attentively to every single word that was mentioned. And when the sermon was complete, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ala hal ballaght? Have I not conveyed the message? Allahumma ashhad. Allah is my witness that I have conveyed everything." Now, when this verse was revealed, it doesn't mean that there wasn't any more Quran revealed, because we know that there were some verses of the Quran that were revealed after this day. But on this day, there were no new aspects to the religion in terms of halal or haram. Nothing new. There would have been more revelation, but it would have been reconfirming that what preceded. So when the Prophet ﷺ performed Hajj, how we perform Hajj is exactly how the Prophet ﷺ would have performed Hajj. When we come here, we arrange ourselves. We don't have to be on the mountain. You can be anywhere on the plains of Arafat. And it is the greatest single day, quite possible, that any one of you will make dua in your life. If you are blessed to come here for Hajj. Now there are many opportunities in our lives that we can make dua, maybe reminded after Salatul Asr on the day of Jumu'ah, okay, or between the Adhan and Iqamah, make dua. In the short span of our lifetimes, a person comes here for Hajj. And the Prophet ﷺ said, the essence, Hajj is what? Is this day. This day is everything that you should be preparing for. So when we start making dua from Salat al-Dhuhr all the way to Salat al-Maghrib, you will never have a more important 6 or 7 hours, however long that is, making dua in your entire life. The most important 6 hours in your entire life to make dua. And the importance of making dua on this day, well, the Prophet ﷺ emphasized its importance, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends on the day of Arafah and boasts to his angels, says that, look at my slaves who have come on these plains, that they are in a hot, dusty state, and that they raise their hands asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything and anything that you ever wished for, maybe since you was a young Muslim in madrasa, that you grew up making dua so many times. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed, whenever that was or will be, that you came here on this day and that you opened your heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah azza wa jal for anything you wanted. When I embraced the Islam at 17, and I met somebody who was a Muslim. I was working in a supermarket. You do that when you're young, right? You're at college. And there was a young brother there who was maybe a year older than me, or very similar age to me. And he said to me, I'm going to Hajj next year. I'm going to Hajj next year. I didn't really know much about what Hajj was about. So I said, what's that about? He said, I knew it was one of the pillars of Islam. I was a Muslim, alhamdulillah. He said, Hajj is a very special time for a Muslim. And it has a day within the Hajj that if you are able to be there, Allah gives you what you want. I said, what do you mean? He goes, if you can go and attend the day of Arafah, Allah answers all of your dua. I was like, subhanAllah. I mean, my knowledge was very limited, but I took it at face value. That you come here, the day of Arafah, you make dua, and Allah answers everything you want. Is that true? Allahu a'lam. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer what you and give what you need right now. May delay it until Yawm al-Qiyamah when you need it most. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will divert what you're asking for because it's not actually good for you, because we don't know. Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. Allah knows and you don't know. I remember another example as well, that on the day of Arafah, and I like to come here, not that you have to come here on the day of Hajj or the day of Arafah, but I like to come here because there's, for me personally, is this a special feeling. And the place is just a sea of people. As far as your eye can see, you just see people. And so we were here, and I was with another brother with Ibadatus, and we were, of course, facing Qibla, and we were making dua. And there was a woman, she was next to me. And she pulled out her phone. And you think to yourself, now is not the time to pull out your phone. You know, this is not a social media time, it's not picture time. It's a special time between you and your Lord. But she wasn't taking no photos. She wasn't on any social media. She pulled out the phone and she called somebody. She says, Ya binti. She's speaking Arabic. She says, oh, daughter, daughter. She says, I'm here on the plains of Arafah. You need to tell me what you need. I'll make dua, Allah gives it to us. You know, when you go shopping, right? And you forget something at the supermarket. And then you call home and say, what do you need? I'll bring it home for you. Because it's on the shelf right there. I almost see that this woman had as much conviction as her being in a supermarket, that whatever she wanted was right there. She can simply put it up, put it in her basket, and she brings it home. On the plains of Arafah, she had that same conviction. Asking her daughter, what is it you want? What is it you need? I'll ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right here, and Allah will grant it to us. Allah will give it to us. And is there anything preventing that? Is there anything stopping that? Absolutely not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more merciful to His servants, more merciful to you and I, than any of the mothers, and this, I say this with due respect. There is no one who has the greater status in the life of any one of us than our own mothers. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more merciful to us than our own mothers to us. If you can just try to imagine that. And you come here, you've spent your money, whatever it costs, £8,000, £10,000, £15,000, maybe at one time, oh, that was quite a lot, maybe there was a small complaint. I can assure you that a day will come that whatever you spent, and you meet Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in Yawm al-Qiyamah for what you did on this day, you will say to yourself, I would have given every single thing I ever had just to be here. And that the money I spent, it was nothing. It was nothing. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that rizq to me to facilitate that I could be here on this day. When I'm back in my country, the UK or the US, whatever country you're in, and every day that you're delaying your salah, maybe you're not giving your zakah as you should, maybe you're in bad company, all those sins that you accumulated year after year after year in disobedience, and then a time came, you said, you know what, I need to make hajj, I need to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You came here, so maybe you had 15, 20, 30 years of sins, thousands, you can't imagine. And then you come here for 4 days. You perform hajj 4 or 5 days, depending on if you want to stay the 13th or not. And then, as the Prophet ﷺ says, that whoever comes for hajj, he doesn't engage in any marital relationships with his wife, or vice versa. No swearing, no cursing, no arguing. They knuckle down and they perform their hajj to the best of their ability, in how the Prophet ﷺ taught us. Raja'a kayoma waladathu ummuhu. That they return to their homes like the day that they were born. Like no sin, no sin. And that if your hajj is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-hajj al-mabrur, laysa lahu al-jaza', accept the paradise. If you have an accepted hajj, and you did your hajj for 4 days, and you live for 70, mashallah, you live to 80, but those 4 days were like no other 4 days in your life. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted your hajj. The reward for that accepted hajj has no other reward except what? Jannah, paradise. So once we think about these things, you think, this is who I'm dealing with, subhanallah. Is this who I'm dealing with? That I just have to do the best that I can for 4 days. Allah Azza wa Jalla accepts my hajj, and I'm going to be from the people of Jannah. I'm going to be from the people of Jannah, subhanallah. And the point is now, if you think about it, that these 4 days that you spent here, or 5 days that you spent here, means that when you return, you don't return the same person. You go back a completely different person. And any person who's made hajj, you can ask them the profound impact that hajj had on them when they returned. You'll taste that a little bit now, I'm sure. As I mentioned previously, when you come here for Umrah, you go back slightly different. The impact of coming to these places is so deep, is so profound. And imagine performing the pinnacle, and that is performing the Hajj. So whoever hasn't made their Hajj, don't think about performing Hajj when you're 50 and 60. Don't wait for that time. No one's guaranteed that they'll live to that time. But rather what? Prepare, save your money as soon as possible for you to perform the Hajj as soon as possible. Because you want that change in your life as early as possible, not as late as possible, or even not doing it at all. You want that change in your life to happen as early as you can. And the earlier that you can perform Hajj, the quicker inshallah ta'ala we can all turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that we all want. This day, the day of Arafah, I can't describe it to you. You have to be here to feel what it is like. One of the great scholars of the past, his name is Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, rahimahullah. He saw another great scholar of Islam, Sufyan al-Thawri. And Abdullah Mubarak, he walks up to Sufyan al-Thawri at the very end part of the day on Arafah. And if you were here, you'll see everybody finding their place, crying, raising their hands, making dua. He sees Sufyan al-Thawri on his knees, making dua. And he sees him in this state. And he sits next to him. And so Sufyan al-Thawri looks at him. Rahimahullah. And Abdullah ibn Mubarak, he says, "Ya Sufyan, who do you see as like the worst person, who has the worst situation on this day of Arafah? What person is in the worst state?" And so he says, "The person who I see who's in the worst state in this day is that a person who thinks that when they come here, that Allah won't forgive them. That person is in the worst state, that you came all the way here and they think Allah won't forgive me. That person is in the worst state." Meaning that what? The person who is in the very best state comes here, has the feeling and certainty and assurity within themselves, Allah will forgive me today. Allah will forgive me today. All the things you ever did wrong in your life, Allah forgives that. Just like that. Just like that. And that mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the glad tidings for all of us, alhamdulillah. The glad tidings is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not only merciful to His servants on the day of Arafah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves His servants and is merciful to His servants every single day of the year. That every single one of us, as long as we are alive and breathing, blood is flowing through our veins, we can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness at any time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His mercy and His love for His servants, can forgive them at any time. When you're back in the UK, when you're back home, you're sincere in your tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives you at any time. But you have to remain sincere. You have to be sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This isn't a joke. This isn't a part-time job. You have to truly turn yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jannah is not cheap. If you want to reach Jannah, it's not about you just making a few phrases every now and again. You have to be serious about your religion. Instill the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in yourself. The love of following our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, learning, reading about his seerah, his life, so you can have a true love in following the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. I can say that, as I mentioned before, you are a blessed crowd, a blessed gathering that Allah Azza wa Jalla brought you here to hear whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to hear, because this is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing from me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed and wrote this for you to be here and for you to think about your beloved alayhi salatu wasalam, walked just where you are walking now. He was here, alayhi salatu wasalam, addressing thousands of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, Abu Bakr, and Umar, and Uthman, and Ali, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, the 10 who were blessed, who promised the Jannah, Bilal ibn Rabah, all of these great companions, they were here. As your eyes, they looked at that mountain, they looked at that mountain. You share that with them, that you both saw the same thing. Radiallahu anhum. This allows you to feel the space that you are in now. And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more merciful to you than your own mother. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us of our sins. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us that one day to perform Hajj. And that it allows to be, or for it to be a Hajjun Mabroor, an accepted Hajj. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give victory to the Muslims around the world, in Palestine, in Gaza, and Kashmir, in Burma, in all of these difficult places around the world, wherever Muslims are finding difficulty and under oppression. We ask Allah tabaraka ta'ala to remove the oppression. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swallows them in the earth. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaces it with justice and fairness. And those who establish the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين